All right, so I've asked the youth if they would, if they feel up to it or have a desire to take the mic for a couple minutes and just give a little brief summary of what they learned at convention or whatever God's laid on their heart. So I'm just gonna hand the mic off and they can pass it down the line here, and if they wanna speak, they're gonna speak, I guess.
First, I guess, thanks for the money and praying for us to go. My favorite thing was some of the seminars, and the last night down in the hotel, there's like a jam session going on, which was pretty cool.
I want to say thank you again for everything and for all your support, and my favorite thing was probably all the different seminars that we went to hear the different speakers and stuff.
Thanks for like paying for us to go, and I had a great time. And I learned that not just going to church every Sunday and showing God's love, but going everywhere outside of Sundays and doing it.
Thank you for your support, and I learned that Mennonites can rock out at seminars.
Well, again, thank you. You know me, my favorite part was worship. There's something about 2,500 youth and adults just praising God together. I personally loved that you could hear the ground shaking, and or you could feel the ground shaking. It was just amazing.
I'm right there with Julia. Everyone was jumping, and it was insane at worship, so you were like moving the whole time, but it was good. Thank you for supporting us and letting us go. My favorite thing, I'll talk a little bit longer. There was this one booth from Heston College, and there was this match thing. I'm like, is this like match.com? No, it wasn't. They handed you a Bible, and you had to look through the Bible, and you had this specific verse that you were supposed to like find. It was highlighted. Okay, cool. Well, they had this rubber mat, and you had to write your verse, your name, and like leave some contact information. So I put my number. And there was like thousands of people, and one person out of all those thousands had the same verse as you. So you're sitting by your phone, you're waiting. Everyone else is getting their match, and I'm waiting. I'm like, okay, my match is gonna come. And then you meet your match, you find them, it was cool. You learn some new things about them. So meeting new people was great. I know your parents tell you don't talk to strangers, but it's not always bad. But yeah, you meet up with them. You get to take a selfie with a selfie stick, which is pretty cool. Then you get a shirt and you put your name in for a drawing. So that was my favorite part.
Thank you everyone for supporting us. I'd have to say my favorite part was the worship music. With all the different instruments that the leaders were playing. And I liked one of the seminars we went to. It was about the story of David and Goliath. And what I learned from that was that if you're going through problems in life, it doesn't help you to be focused on the problems. But if you can focus on God instead, then that's how you get through them.
Thank you guys for letting us go. My favorite part was like meeting all the youth and that one guy. Dustin Gallion, he was a pretty good speaker, you know, energetic. The seminars were great, some of them not so great, but I mean, yeah.
So one thing Kevin didn't tell you is that he lost in more ways than just the scoreboard at basketball. He was elbowed in the eye multiple times. He got schooled multiple times. So I heard, I think 2 days in a row, I'm not going back to playing basketball. And where was Kevin the next day? Playing basketball. So he stayed on with it. So if you would have asked me 2 weeks ago before we went to convention if I would be up here right now speaking, I would say no. I would have been heading back with the kids. I would have given you a brief synopsis of the week, and I was hopefully going to pawn this off onto Randy and have Randy give a message today. But as the week went on, about Thursday evening, I started feeling like God wanted me to bring a message. And I immediately told God, no, Andy doesn't talk in front of people. That's not what I do. I'm not trained to do this. And then Friday rolled around, and God was again telling me, no, you need to start paying attention and give a message. And I started making excuses, saying, you know, again, I don't talk in front of people. I'm not comfortable doing it. Any excuse I could think of. And then Saturday came around, and I actually filled Julia in on what I was feeling. And I said, hey, would you like to bring a message with me on Sunday? And she's like, boy, I don't know. That's really not what I do either. You know, it's not a comfort zone for either of us. So Saturday night, now mind you, this is midnight, roughly. We're getting up. The alarms are set for 10 to 5 so that we can get up, get the van packed, be on the road at 6. And Andy and God are still fighting at about 2 o'clock in the morning. And basically at that point, I said, okay, God, I'll do it. And thankfully on Sunday on the way home, it took me less time to convince Julia to stand up here with me than it took God for God to teach me and show me that I needed to be up here today. So the message we bring you today is kind of a compilation of about 3 different speakers that we heard at convention. As we work through what we were going to say this morning, it just kind of all fit together. And so this is a message that we bring to you from the speakers, from what we learned, from what we kind of felt God was laying on our heart. And these are his words, not ours by far. Otherwise, I'd be sitting down. So let's say a quick word of prayer. God, thank you that we're all here this morning. Thank you for convention, for the time that we had, for the time of hearing your word. And be with Julia now as we bring this message that it's your words, Lord, not ours, and that you'd be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
So last week we learned that the Bible is a rescue mission. Jesus came to teach us and to save the world from sin. He rescues all who believe in him from a place that is all too real. Hell is real, and we don't talk about that in churches enough. It's easy to talk about heaven and God's love and salvation and all the rosy things in the Bible. But how often do we think about what hell is like? It will be like what we hear, sadness and fire and pain. But the worst part is the eternal separation from God. What people fail to realize is that there is no amount of gratification that worldly experiences or possessions can give us that is worth going through that separation. Ephesians 2:8 through 9 states, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, so that no one can boast."
So we need to be willing to accept God's grace, his love, and his salvation. And we need to put aside our own pride and accept and admit that we would be lost without God in our lives. So those of us that use Facebook, use Twitter, okay, there are, when I was growing up, it was called the pound sign, but nowadays it's called the hashtag, okay? So we learned about 2 hashtags this week, and if you don't know what hashtags are, basically it's going to be on the screen. It is a pound sign, or hashtag, with a bunch of words grouped together. Okay, no spaces. Okay, so the first hashtag that we're bringing to you today is that we need to be hashtag God focused. And when we focus on God, we can experience his grace. And it's grace that cannot be given to us by any other being or any other thing in our lives. God will never, ever put anything in our lives that we can't handle or that we aren't prepared for with His help. He's always there to help us get through whatever it is comes up in our lives. Many times we let things that come up in our lives, our work, our job, something that goes wrong, an illness, whatever it is, we let that change the focus of our life and what we're doing. But to accept His grace, we must let go of selfish ambition and focus on Him. And we need to extend to others the grace that God has given to us, His children. And through this, we will not only receive His gift of grace to us, but He will grant us peace so that our hearts will not be troubled and doubt, and our doubt will be shed away.
So the second hashtag we have for you is Design for Community. In today's world, it is extremely easy to hide because we're a technology generation. We can tweet, Facebook, text, and Instagram without saying a word. Though we are still interacting with others online, the screen that separates us makes it easy to hide behind our words. But God wants us to meet with like-minded individuals. Though it's okay to have fellowship with others that we may not agree with, it's important to have community with people who share our belief in the truth. We are designed to have people and friends in our lives. Most importantly, when we feel that all is lost, we must remember that we are wanted by Jesus. He wants to be our friend who is always there for us through every trial and every storm that may present itself. He wants us to include Him in every aspect of our lives, our family, and our church. That is our community, and He will care for and bless us in those communities.
So now we have a quick activity for you that we did at convention, and we're going to do it with 100 or so people here. You can imagine with 1,500 youth doing this little activity how much more powerful it is. But I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to let you think about it for a second. And then I'm going to have you respond with the answer all at one time. Okay? So here's your first question. The first question I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to let you think about it, is what street do you live on right now? Okay, everybody have it? I'm going to count to three. Ready? On three, everybody say it at the same time. One, two, three. I didn't get any of it, did you? I didn't get any of it. Okay, so we're going to try another question. Okay, same thing. What city were you born in? All right, ready? One, two, three. I didn't get any of it again. No. All right, let's try one more. This will be the last one. Okay? Who died on the cross for your sins? One, two, three.
Jesus.
So, just like this activity, you all can tell that when we all agree with one voice, it is very powerful. Okay, when each person disagrees or has their own view and allows it to cause division, then issues crop up, which shows the power of a like-minded community. When things don't get addressed, they just get bigger and bigger and bigger. If you don't handle them, they grow out of control. Last week at convention, there were many different things that came across to the youth as being in like-minded in what we teach here in our church. However, there were also things that came up that we needed to talk to with the kids. Questions came up in a few sessions that we attended that weren't quite what we teach here. And things came up in worship that maybe aren't quite the same as what we teach here. So we took the time, sat down with the kids, kind of decompressed and bounced the ideas off of each other of where the differences are and how we can handle them. So there were different voices that stood out to the kids, myself and also Julia.
So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13 says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? The Bible states that we must unite as one body, and when we do, we can move mountains. So then there are a few questions that need to be asked. One is, where are you from? Not so much as where you live, but how you live. But we have to identify our lives. What things have we gone through that make up our lives? Our lives are more than just feelings and emotions and thoughts, because Satan can successfully attack these things because they change. One day we're happy and the next we're sad. If who we are is based on biblical truth, then Satan can't successfully attack this. He knows he can't beat that. We cannot help others or fully accept grace until we answer the question of who we are.
So the second question that we need to ask ourselves is, who is our church? Now, most of the time we say, you know, where do you go to church, and so on, and we will say Beaver Dam. But when I asked this question, and when we thought about it, our church is not just Beaver Dam. It's not just us. It's not just Pastor Randy. It is the Ohio Conference. It is Mennonite Church USA. So once we identify our church, then you have to ask yourselves, is your church alive? Now, remember, we define the term community as like-minded individuals. So we should, as a church, be sure that we protect ourselves from wanting to mold the Bible to fit around our sin or the sin of others. If the Bible says it, it is truth. We as a nation nowadays want everything to be politically correct. Everything we say has to be politically correct in our nation today. Everyone can and will be offended by something that is said all of the time right now. But the issue is that no one has any kind of backbone or will take a stand for anything. The Bible, it's not politically correct. Jesus is not and was not politically correct according to what our society thinks is being politically correct. It is a guide of how we should live our lives. As we look at the pieces that make up our church, if we find any part of it, now remember, that is Beaver Dam, that is the Ohio Conference, and that is Mennonite Church USA. Okay, that's how we're defining the church. If we find any part of that church that is empty or dead, which is not alive, then we must cut it out and move forward. This will allow our church and our community to grow.
So there was a quote used at the convention that I love, and it says, we are not bodies that have souls. Rather, we are souls that have bodies. Too often, we as humans, who can only see a fraction of the big picture, prioritize the secondary things that, to us, mean the world. We focus on society's standards as if they were the Ten Commandments, and we must religiously follow them, because if we don't, we're seen as negatively different. If we keep doing this and we keep trying to be like someone else, we all start to look the same and start doing the same things when God calls us to be boldly different, even if it's hard. If we follow God's path for us and do his will, we are unstoppable and nothing can stand in our way because he is our protector and he is our advocate. So the last question we're going to ask this morning is, who is your Savior?
in the story of David and Goliath. Goliath was from giants. He waited for someone to fight him for 40 days. All the Israelites were focused on the situation and the fear. David was God-focused. He didn't allow the fear to consume him, so he geared up with a sling and stones and went to battle. He didn't walk away looking for cover. He ran. David knew his Savior was in control, so he didn't have to fear.
So again, we ask, who is your Savior? Is he a nice guy? Someone cool to read about? Is he just someone who you know came to earth and died and then rose again? Or like David, is your Savior your friend? A real person that's here with you all the time. He's walking the road with you. Would you know it if he was here right in our church, sitting in the pew right now? Jesus appeared to his disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they didn't even know it was him. In Luke 24, 13 to 19, it says, Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know about the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people." So even his disciples on the road to Emmaus were blinded by their own grief and situations. If we don't know who Jesus is to us, then how would we know where to find him? So as we move forward in the next days, weeks, months, years, we as individuals and as a church need to know how we answer the three questions: where are you from, who is your church, and who is your Savior? So that when the voices come that are different than what we expect, we know where to fall back to and rely on the grace that God will so freely provide to all of us. If we stay focused on God and remember that we are designed for community, then we will have the foundation needed to love those around us and be bold for Jesus in the dark world.
Thank you. As they're coming up to do the last song, let us pray. Father God, I thank you. Thank you for placing on their heart that message, Lord. And I just pray for it to sink in. Pray that we can chew it around in our minds and just fully grasp what you've wanted us to grasp out of that. And Lord, also, just pray you'll bless your faithful servants. In Jesus' name, amen.